Hey, we're back, ladies and gentlemen. It's a fresh episode of the Call to Arms podcast. As usual, we are recording from the Gatorade studio. The podcast is produced and made possible by the amigo Toby from HR. Original art is by Alan Martin, and original theme music is a track called Tropical Vikings, courtesy of our friends from Careless Music Manila and our great friend Mr. Brett Jackson. King Wow, thank you very much as always. Took a little bit of a break there. Things got busy. I'm about to be a dad. So I think that's about as good an excuse as any. Although it doesn't completely explain the little break that we took. But nonetheless, not sure which one of those two is appropriate here. But we're here. We're going to talk a little NBA playoffs. So the amigo is keeping me on a tight leash as usual, because I always promise. For those of you who are new to the pod, I always say that every episode is going to be 20 minutes, 30 minutes max. Every episode is closer to 2 hours than it is to 30 minutes. We're only going to talk about one thing per playoff series here in the first round. And I promise to try my best to keep it at that. And then at the very end of this, at the very, very end of this episode, we've got a little bit of my conversation with the Glove, Gary Payton, and the Rain Man, Sean Kemp. That came from my interview with them. It's an episode of the Republic Huddle, the entire episode of which you can catch on the NBA YouTube channel. So make sure that you guys go and catch the Republic Huddle on NBA YouTube. All right. That seems like all the business we need to get to. All right, so welcome back to the pod, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome back to myself and the amigo, back in full force. It's the Call to Arms podcast. My name is Nico Ramos. Let's go.
Something going on around the islands. Money flowing wherever I've been promised. Just another Viking in the tropics. Taking over, trying to stop this novice. Make it killing, I'm finna conquer. I'm a dreamer. The floor is lava, yeah. Something going on around the islands. Straight fire when we vibe and promise.
All right, let's talk NBA playoffs. There's a big reason why we don't necessarily jump into the playoffs. I know as a sports and basketball podcast, you'd think to yourself, well, it's the playoffs. It's the best time of the year. Content is everywhere. You guys should be raring to go, excited to do a pod every single day. The tough part about that is, after 24 hours, your podcast gets really, really old, and you get exposed so very quickly with all your bad takes and analysis. And yeah, it's tough to be previewing a game four, and then a few hours after you release your pod, the actual game four gets played, and then your entire episode becomes, you know, useless. But we found a window. We're, as you're listening to this now, we're recording this Monday evening, the 31st of May. The next game isn't until tomorrow morning, and it's a pair of games that we're pretty confident that whether or not those series get closed out quick or they take a little longer, I'm pretty confident that Philadelphia, Washington, and Utah, Memphis is gonna go the way I think it's gonna go. So yeah, we found ourselves a little window here. So we'll go through the bracket, we'll talk about each series, and just one thing about each series, and then I promise that's all you're gonna get. And then at the end of the episode, as I mentioned earlier, you got the Glove, you got Rain Man. All right, let's start. Can we start in the east?
Yeah, sure. Let's start with the series that's already done. Let's go Milwaukee Bucks versus Miami Heat. What do you have to say on that?
Here's my one thing about the Milwaukee Bucks and the Miami Heat, and it centers around one Mr. Tyler Hero.
Right.
Did Tyler Hero have a bad... I don't have the answer to this question, right? Nobody has the answer to this question. We'll find out in 5 years. But did Tyler Hero have a bad year this year, or did he have a fluke of a year in the bubble? Is a central right. question I have uh-huh. about that series. So he went from, this guy is untradeable. The Miami Heat said, no trade packages. There's Bradley Beal, no way, right? Not that Bradley Beal right. was, you know, leaving Washington, right? But James Harden, no way. No way. We don't want him if that means we're going to have to give up Tyler Hero. Now, again, we don't know. Had they put that deal together, would Houston have gone for that deal instead of the deal that they got? And in retrospect, it could have been a worse deal than what they got. And they didn't really get much in John Wall and whatever else they eventually put together for to come up with a decent package in exchange for James Harden. But the Heat said no, Tyler Hero off the table, cannot trade him, he's our future. The amigo, as a diehard Phoenix Suns fans, and we'll get into that later, but there was even some talk, and I know you heard this, and I know many people heard this, but there was even some talk of, and I don't even want to say it out loud, but Tyler Hero is the next Devin Booker. People were saying that.
Right.
I can't even say it out loud at 10 p.m. in my own home, because I'm embarrassed that those words came out of my mouth. Now, as I said, I don't have the answer to this question, and we're all going to look back on this 5 years from now, and by then we'll have a definitive answer. But did Tyler Hero have a fluke in the bubble, or did he just have a down year this year? Did he have some sort of sophomore slump, or whatever the equivalent of that in how many years he's been in the league?
Did he have his first Miami offseason?
did he have his first South Beach?
Yes,
offseason?
Yes.
Like, I am living in Miami. It's one thing to reside in Miami. It's another thing to be living in Miami.
That's post finals, exactly.
that's out of the bubble after X number of months in the bubble. He comes out, and but I will say this, though, in all seriousness, it's not that it's Tyler Hero's fault entirely that the Miami Heat got swept. They just, as a team, were not as good as they were last year. And the Milwaukee Bucks are, I would say, 2-3 times better than they were last year, not to mention healthier, with Jrue Holiday and with a little bit of flexibility. Is that some flexibility I see in you, Coach Budenholzer? is that some willingness to adjust I see in you, Coach Budenholzer? But, so it's not entirely Hero's fault. But the question remains, though. Is he the guy you hitch your wagon to? Is he the horse you hitch your wagon to for the future? But I think safe to say, we should put the next Devin Booker. We should put that talk aside for now, right? Okay.
Man.
Okay, I agree. All right. Okay, we'll stop it. That's it for Heat Bucks.
All right, let's go Philly and Washington, which is starting tomorrow or ending tomorrow. What is happening there?
It's ending tomorrow. See, this is why I don't like doing podcasts. We're releasing this. We're probably releasing this, and the game's already done. But for the record, if you're listening to this, we are 9 hours away from tip-off between the Sixers and the Wizards for Game 4 of Philly-Washington. Am I the chump? Am I the fool, right? Am I the fool for still being, I love Russell Westbrook?
No.
Love
of course
Russell
not.
Westbrook.
Of course
or,
not.
Or am I on the right side of history here? Am I on the right side of history here when I say that, you know what? One day he's going to retire. One day he's not going to be around anymore. And we're all going to miss him. And we're all going to look back on him fondly. The way that we look back on all the legends, because for all of his flaws, and no NBA player is perfect, and Russell Westbrook is far from perfect,
sure.
But for all of his flaws, I love Russell Westbrook. I love Russell Westbrook. No one competes harder. I can say that with 100% certainty. There's no way to measure that. There's no metric to measure competitiveness.
No.
Or your consistent competitiveness. There's no way to do that. But the eye test tells me when I see him on the floor of any basketball game that I've ever seen him play, Russell Westbrook is going 100 miles per hour every possession, every second. Now, would his career have been better off if he had maybe decided that, you know what, sometimes maybe I don't have to be the fastest man on earth? Sure. Maybe, but that's not the appeal of Russ. That's not why I love Russ. And I love Russ. He averaged another triple-double this year.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, the way he just normalized that is something we take for granted every single day.
he normalized it for him, right? You know, before Russ set the record, before Russ broke the record, right, and set a triple-double average, and before that, it was only Oscar Robertson who had done it. And people said, I remember Bill Simmons put it in his book. This is going to be one of the most. This is going to be one of the unbreakable records in the NBA. Then, you know, voila, Russ broke the record, and then he, you know, won an MVP for it. I love Russ. Can't defend that one. But I will say this. Luka's great. Luka's great. And we'll get to Luka in a second. Luka can put up, like, triple-doubles, right? He had three triple-doubles through his first nine playoff games. That's absurd. That's insane. Luka's going to have a ton of triple-doubles by the time he's done. I'm not sure Luka averages a triple-double for a season. I'm not sure anyone else outside of Russ does this in the near future. I'm not going to make the Bill Simmons mistake, and I'm going to use the word never, because it's going to happen again. But I don't think it'll happen anytime soon, and I don't think it'll be done in the spectacular fashion that Russell Westbrook did it. So, there's not much to say about the Philly and the Wizards series. There's not much to watch either. I tried, especially when it was on late at night. I was like, you know, I'm thankful that the playoff bracket gave us this game, because it gives me some sleep time, which I need. I'm going to wake up at 3 a.m. for the Knicks and the Hawks. I can skip this one. But the Wizards are going to get swept. They had a 0.6 chance of getting into the playoffs earlier this year, yet they still made the playoffs. So congratulations to a heck of a fight for Russell Westbrook and Bradley Beal. And good luck to the Sixers moving forward. And Russ, I love you.
All right, great. And well, since you mentioned it, let's go Knicks Hawks. You're down 3-1 after today. And where do you see this going? Is this done?
It's kind of done, isn't it? I mean, are the Knicks going to win three in a row?
With the guys Thibs are playing? I don't know.
Who else is he going to play? Well, I mean, he should play Emmanuel Quickly more.
Yes. Okay, so what happened there? I know we said one thing, but let's go.
You are timekeeper.
Let's go.
You're the time cop. So if you ask a question, that doesn't count as the one thing.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Quickly is most probably the most logical pick to kind of put in front of Trae Young, just because of youth, length at that size, quickness, athleticism, and overall. Don't give an effery. It's got to be Emmanuel Quickly, right? I know Thibs loves him, his D Rose, and what's not to love, right?
It's a great story, by the way.
Yeah, and you know, he's. I think Thibs is a little handicapped by the fact that it seems that not a lot of New York Knicks want to take shots. Or not a lot of New York Knicks are capable of making shots on the regular that are not named Derrick Rose. You, as these games go, and as the Hawks kind of get on runs, and the Knicks need to answer back, and they shut off the initial option, which is Randall, and the play goes to audible, and the play has to go to the secondary option, or the second, you know, the second action, it really becomes painfully clear. Oh, all right. Oh, okay. Derrick Rose is going to have to make something happen. And if he doesn't, then it's going to be a bad possession. Even when Rose does make something happen, it's, all right, Alec Burks, get hot again for us. And no disrespect to Alec Burks, but I mean, if you're depending on Alec Burks to get hot to win a playoff game, then you're not going to win many, and you're not going to win three in a row. Sad to say, the Knicks are most likely done. But here's my one thing about the series.
Here's my one thing about the series.
Spike Lee is one of the rare few. He actually went to Atlanta wearing mismatched blue and orange sneakers. The Knick hat, the whole Spike outfit, right? Everything Knicks, right?
Yeah.
He wore that in Atlanta after talking all sorts of smack to Trey in game one, getting yelled at and being told, tell it quiet in here, getting a little bit of revenge in game two when they beat the Hawks. And then the great director Spike Lee double down, and he said, you know what, Trey, you're yelling, come see us in the A, come see us in the A. I'm going to go there. I'm going to go to the A. COVID, I'm going to risk it. I got my shots. I'm going to risk it. And then he talked all kinds of smack while inside the Hawks arena. And then they lost, obviously. And then he sat there. And then he just took the losses. And I was like, you know what? It takes a lot of guts to do that.
Yeah.
I'm not sure I would do that.
Yeah, he doesn't hide behind a keyboard.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's
no
out
troll
here, man.
Account. Yeah, yeah. No troll account. This is me in your face. I'm going to yell smack to you. And if you beat me, I'm going to sit here and take it. Doesn't walk out. He finishes the games.
Right.
Yeah. He doesn't have to be there. He doesn't have to hear it from Trae Young at the end of the games. But he sits there and he just takes it all. And he's out there. And mad respect to Spike Lee. He's going to have one more playoff game at home at Madison Square Garden. Maybe they extend it. But it's not going to go back there for Game 7. But he deserves this, man. He deserves this. Remember the time when he was wearing Landry Fields jersey? to Knicks games. Spike Lee deserves this. Plus, they maltreated him. They didn't let him in his entrance. They did all that BS because they have a terrible owner. That's the one thing I think that Knicks fans and I will agree on after they just abandoned ship on the podcast when I said the series is over. but mad respect to Spike Lee. He's one of the rare few fans out there who wears his heart on his sleeve, talks smack, takes it back, and isn't afraid to hide behind a fake burner account. So, respect to you, sir.
Amen to that. All right, let's round up the East with the last one. Obviously, the Nets versus the Celtics. What are you on that?
The Nets are so good.
Oh, yeah. You don't need a podcast to say that.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, no, I apologize for that. So, this is also the other reason why why, for everyone listening, the Amigo and I aren't kind of, you know, chomping at the bit to do podcasts during the playoffs, because we always ask ourselves, well, is there anything unique? Is there anything new to the table, to the conversation we're going to bring to it? Because everyone has their analysis, everyone has their breakdowns, and that's just not what we do. And, you know, you end up listening to me saying the Nets are so good. The reason why. But here's the one thing about the Nets and the Celtics, and we're going to talk about the Nets a whole lot more down the line, because obviously this series is over as well. The only time they lost was when they got a little too cute with it, and then they let Jason Tatum drop 50 on them. And if the opposing team's best player drops 50 on you in a playoff game, there's a good chance you're going to lose that game. So I don't stress about that too much for the Nets. So my one thing about this series is Celtic related. What do they do? Like, how much better is this team going to get? Jaylen's going to come back next year. Tatum is obviously, maybe he becomes like someone who's an all-NBA guy. Maybe down the line he becomes a first-team all-NBA guy. I wouldn't be surprised. I wouldn't be surprised if Jason Tatum one day is in MVP conversations. He seems like he's that dude.
Right.
And at early points in the season, it seemed like Jaylen Brown was the best Celtic on the roster. But apart from that, they got Kemba for another $200 million. Mm-hmm. They got nothing out of all of the picks that they had, right? The treasure trove of picks.
Right.
All of those picks that they hoarded when they sold their souls and gave up KG and Pierce and all those guys to the Nets, ironically. The Sacramento pick didn't pan out because that was the 1 year Sacramento was actually good. It's a trade exception? That's kind of like, that's a treasured piece that's left in the cupboard. So I'm not saying this as a Laker fan and as a Celtic hater, because I'm not a Celtic hater by any means, but I would be very, very concerned, because they can't tank, because they have incredible talent who are approaching, if not already beginning, the peak of their careers in Jason and Jaylen. They don't have a lot of flexibility to trade, because the Kemba contract is terrible, and if you like go with Marcus Smart, he's kind of like the heart and soul of that team, although he thinks he's the best player on that team.
right.
And yeah, and all your picks didn't really work out, right? So I don't know. It's a tough situation for Danny Ainge. I guess what I'm saying, my one thing with the Celtics is I don't know how much they can reshape this team moving forward if they plan to keep both Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum. With how the Nets seem like they're going to be together for a while, the Sixers look like they're going to be good for a while, and the Milwaukee Bucks look like they're going to be good for a while. So good luck. Good luck, Boston. I mean that 30%.
I mean, I can't wait for Boston fans to overreact to when Peyton Pritchard scores like 12 and 8, right?
Romeo Langford minutes were on my timeline going, yeah, Romeo's not bad. Rome's not bad. Like, no one's bad, right? That's kind of like a mantra of the Call to Arms podcast is we're not here to hate on NBA players because all NBA players are world-class players, right? But I'm saying in comparison to their goals of finally making the NBA playoffs and hanging banner number 18, as objectively as I can, I'm saying I don't know what the path is to significantly reshaping your team to exceed what Brooklyn, what Milwaukee, and what Philadelphia have to offer in the next 5 years. I don't see a path down that road that doesn't have you letting go of Jaylen and Jason Tatum. And yes, I am aware that by doing that, that is not a great bet, and you'll probably end up being worse. But right. The alternative is you'll forever be a second round team, if at that. So there.
You fuel us, we fuel you. Gatorade studies the best athletes to create the most advanced sports fuel with fluids, electrolytes, and carbohydrates. So you can play your best. Nothing beats Gatorade.
Done with the East, let's go West. So tomorrow, it's going to be the Jazz and the Grizz for game number four? Yeah, game number four. So how are you on that? Who do you have here? Are you happy?
It feels like they've been playing a while.
I know one thing, but then are you happy that... I know. Are you happy that the Grizz made it over the Warriors? Do you think the play-in was worth it? Do you think that the Grizz earned their shot?
Oh, yeah. Well, 100%. Did they earn it? Yeah. Am I happy for them? Yes. I think that Ja Morant has been a revelation. I think that he's one of the most fun players that, you know, you could watch in the NBA, especially at that age. The skill set is just incredible. Would I rather be watching Steph? Yeah. I think I would much rather be watching Steph. which is not to say that the Utah Jazz would probably still have the same type of series lead over the Warriors that they do with the Grizzlies. The Jazz are for real. I know that being a one seed sometimes isn't all it's... Not all one seeds are created equal, right?
Right.
The Atlanta Hawks once won 67 games, right? Mm-hmm. Weren't Isaiah Thomas's Celtics a one seed?
At one point? Were. Probably,
I think
yeah,
they were. Something like that. But yeah, not all one seeds are created equal, as the We Believe Warriors proved. but I don't think that applies to this Utah Jazz team. I think that they're a legitimate threat to come out the West.
Is that your one thing? Is that it?
No. My one thing about the Jazz and the Grizzlies is kind of strange. But
no, go ahead.
Kyle Anderson. Slow-mo?
Yes.
Why shouldn't he be my favorite player in the NBA? I don't have a good reason why Slow-mo shouldn't be my favorite NBA player. He moves like so many of us. By us, I mean like Pinoy's. He's slow-mo for NBA standards, but he's actually our pace, right?
Right.
He's crafty. He's just the right amount of dirty. And he's incredibly smart. And he really plants and waves the flag for not as athletic people, right? Don't get me wrong, Kyle Anderson in most rooms is the most athletic person in most rooms.
Right.
If that's a room that has other NBA players, then that's no longer the case. But just seeing someone play so differently and yet still be effective is a sight to behold. And Kyle Anderson, I'm sorry I didn't appreciate you more. I will now get into NBA cards specifically just to search for your rookie card. And it means nothing to you, sir. It means nothing to you. But I think you are now my favorite player in the NBA. So shout out Slow-Mo.
Come on the pod.
come on the pod, Slow-Mo. Come on the pod, right? I mean, how many other invites you got right now? Exactly. You're going to have a lot of time in a week. I'm kidding. Martin David, Soul Movement. You and any other Grizzly fans out there in the Philippines. Only joking. Love your team. Next Gen Grizz. Let's go.
All right. Next up, Denver Nuggets versus Portland Trail Blazers.
Denver Nuggets, Portland Trail Blazers. Also known as... you know how they say sometimes that the NBA Finals is in the conference finals? Remember when Houston and Golden State would play in the conference finals and people would always talk, well, the NBA champion's going to come out of this series, just completely disregarding whoever else was playing. The Suns and the Lakers, I'll tell you why the Suns and the Lakers, and we'll probably get to them in a second, I'll tell you why both of them are going to lay everything out to win that first round series is because they have Denver without Jamal Murray waiting for them in the second round. Either that, it's either Denver with no Jamal Murray or Portland with no intention to play any defense waiting in the second round.
Right.
And either of those teams are comfortably going to sleep at night knowing that that's who they face. Now, I'm not making a prediction saying that the Suns or the Lakers are going to sweep or completely dominate either Denver or Portland. But I will tell you this. When the bracket got finalized, Chris Paul and LeBron James both looked at the bracket and said, just let me get through this first round. Lord, just let me get through this first round. Second round, I don't need too much of your help there, Lord. I'll call you again in the conference final. But just let me get through this first round. Second round, I got it. I got the answers to the test in that one. So it's sad because the Nuggets with Jamal Murray, I felt I really felt that they were a contender to get to the West Finals and maybe even get to the NBA Finals with Jamal Murray. But without him, they needed the Austin Rivers game in order to win a playoff series against the Portland Trail Blazers, who, all due respect to Dame, who is and most times number one on my fear index of players I fear playing against the most, a team that they should be beating handily if they were complete. Whoever wins that series, the buck ends there. The buck stops there. And there's really not much to say there. I guess, aside from, I can't believe Denver fans are booing Carmelo. This is a 1.5 thing now, but I still can't believe they let Jokic wear Carmelo's number 15.
Right.
Because, they have no intention of retiring it? That's what that signifies, right?
Yeah,
and I have a problem with that. That's been a long-standing problem of mine, the same way that the Orlando Magic allowed Tracy McGrady to wear number one. Because I was like, oh, cool. So they have no plans. They have no plans of retiring Penny Hardaway's number one. That's just what we're doing, Orlando. T-Mac, here, you can have it. And you can say that, well, if it's not retired, a player can use it. That's not true. Because the Washington Wizards disallowed Russell Westbrook from wearing number zero. For what? Right. For what?
Agent zero?
Is because one day when they forget about the whole gun thing, they're going to honor Agent Zero the way they should by retiring his jersey. He was the most interesting Wizards player they had in a really, really long time. Michael Jordan included. he got them to the playoffs. He talked smack to LeBron. So Denver, you guys did Melo wrong. Yeah, I know he asked out of Denver. Yeah, I know he forced his way out of there. Yeah, I know you guys got a poo-poo platter in return. But you shouldn't have let Jokic wear number 15. You did that. Now you guys are even. You have no right to boo him now.
Yeah, those baby blue Melo jerseys, man. Classic.
I was just watching. I fell into a rabbit hole. I would hand to God, two nights ago, watching Allen Iverson and Carmelo highlights from when they were in Denver.
Right.
And it is, I don't have a lot of regrets in life. I don't. I really don't have a lot of regrets in life. But one of them is I didn't appreciate that team enough. And I didn't watch that team enough. Because we had Carmelo Anthony and Allen Iverson. Allen Iverson.
Right.
The man himself. On the same team. Wearing baby blue. With Kenyon Martin.
Yes. And J.R. Smith.
Birdman.
Right?
Birdman. J.R. The hell were we doing not watching them every single day? I regret it. I regret it so much. I should have appreciated more, and I am now open to any and all Denver era memorabilia as long as it pertains to AI and Melo and their season together. That's it. That's my Denver-Portland thing.
All right. Let's end with the two LA series. Obviously, let's save Suns Lakers last because that's going to go.
Let's save our friendship one. Yeah.
Yeah, after that, maybe the season might come to another hiatus after that. So let's go Clippers and the Mavs. Any thoughts on that?
Okay, again, I once again ask you, one of the people I trust the most in my life, right? My dear friend. Am I a chump? Am I a fool for thinking Clippers are back? Back from what? I don't know. They were never there. But... All right, dude. Let me rephrase. Clippers are finally here.
Right.
Am I a fool for thinking, yeah, this is it? This is it. This is the team they've wanted for so long. This is the team they envisioned. This is the reason they've talked so much crap to everyone they've played. This is the reason they've been behaving like they've won 15 championships. It's because of this team. I can't believe it. I'm starting to believe.
Really? I'm
starting to believe.
Seriously?
In the Clippers. Am I a fool? Because here's why. They get punched in the mouth game one, right?
Right.
I don't really put a lot of weight in game ones, especially when you're placing an all-NBA talent. And that's who Luka Doncic is. All-NBA talent. Easily top 10 player in the league right now. Get punched in the mouth. Sure. Fine. All right. Cool. They get beat in game two, and that sounds the alarm. We just lost the first two home games. And now we have to go to Dallas and win two there just to even things out.
Right.
And I was calling them done. I was saying, this is over. 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 They're going to win one in Dallas, and then the Mavs are going to win in five. They get down 19 points in the third quarter of game three. And I start talking all of my smack. To whom? No one in particular. But I was pacing around the house saying, they're done. Kawhi's a free agent. He's gone. Kawhi's walking. Miami Heat, make some space for Kawhi Leonard. Find a way to get him because this man is gone. They erase almost completely said 19-point lead in the same quarter.
Right.
On the road for Luka Doncic's first home playoff game. And then they go all the way and win game three. And then they overwhelm the Mavs game four. So now, and this is going to be the same thinking that I'm going to have when we talk about the other LA series. Now it's 2-2. They have game 5 at home. And it's a best of 3. And so that's just a numerical advantage because of home court advantage, sure, right? But for the Mavs to win this series, you're telling me they would have beaten Kawhi Leonard and Paul George 3 times on their own home floor straight? Because that's what the Mavs need to do. The Mavs right. need to win at Staples again, which would mean that Game 1, Game 2, and Game 5, all at Staples, the Clippers drop each and every home game in the playoffs. And then the Mavs can close it out in Game 6, or, you know, it's a Game 7 free-for-all. But that's just, even for Clipper standards, even for Clipper standards, that just seems like way too much of, I don't like using the word choke around yeah. basketball, but that seems like way too much of a choke for me, even for Clipper standards, even for their history. However, if there's a team that can pull it off, it's the Los Angeles Clippers. but I don't think I'll go on the record. I want Luka to win because I'm a huge Luka fan. I'm a bigger Luka fan than I am a Kawhi fan or a PG fan. Right? Those guys are right. great, but I would much rather see more of Luka in the playoffs. But
and some Porzingis.
I think it's tough.
If he can show up for a bit, if Porzingis can show up for maybe like 5 minutes of game 5, that'd be great.
Hey Kristaps. How about we turn it on a little bit? How about we play with a little more energy? But yeah, no, it's tough for me to wrap my head around the Clippers losing 3 straight home games in the playoffs when they did the hardest thing, which was drop the first 2 at home, win 2 on the road,
right,
and then they have the chance to take control of the series on their home floor and lose that again. It would be the peak. I would say that would even be worse than dropping the 3-1 lead against Denver last year. That would be worse for me. That would be worse because you didn't win once at home. That would mean you didn't win once at home. If they lose game 5, it's over in Dallas game 6.
Right.
Because there's no way 2 teams are going to lose each of their home games. It's just, statistically, that's just not likely. So yeah, for them to lose 3 straight home games in the playoffs in the first round when they picked this opponent.
Yes, exactly.
They picked the Mavs. they threw away their last 2 games and they dodged the 3 seed. They dodged the 3 seed when they could have gotten the Portland Trail Blazers and the winner of a banged up Phoenix or banged up Lakers series. Theoretically, it could have been easier for them to have just, I don't know, not ducked anybody in the NBA playoffs. Not go through all this machinery and shenanigans and all this, you know, this weird, cowardly dodging of opponents to pick. Oh, no, we want Dallas. Yeah, no. Yeah, we want Luka. So if after all that, they drop 3 straight home games and lose this series in Dallas in game 6, or worse, lose game 7 at home, which means you lost all 4 of your home games against a team that you handpicked. That would be worse than losing 3-1 to Jamal Murray and Nikola Jokic last year. That's right, 18 fine. Things, but that's my Clippers Mavs thing. Let's go Luka.
All right, and let's end this. Let's go with Lakers Suns.
We're done.
Were you up? Were you up a while ago? 3:30 a.m.
Yeah. I wish I wasn't.
Oh, come on.
I set an alarm for 3:30 because I hate missing the start of games. I always I'm such a nerd for what the first play of each game is for each team. especially right. the team that wins the tip. Like, okay,
yes,
what player are you going to? Because this is one of the few situations where you talked about this. This is what we're going to run the first possession we have. And that usually says a lot, right? If you go to your big guy, it means you want to get him involved right away. If you if you get to your shooter early, it means you want to get him going earlier, get him a couple looks, things of that nature. But I was so eager. I woke up at 3:30. As soon as the second quarter, about midway through the second quarter, and it wasn't a 15-point Laker lead. It wasn't like a 17-point Laker lead. I was like, what are we doing, guys? Like, what the hell are we doing? Like, what is this? This is the blowout game. That should have been the blowout game.
Yeah.
That should have been
You guys were up 11. Because,
Yeah. They went up 11. And then when it didn't go up to 15, didn't go up to 17, I was like, what are we doing? Because that should have been the nail on the coffin. That's a demoralizing game. If you follow the formula from the first three rounds last year, or most other series where, you know, the favored team, the stronger team, goes up 3-1, it's usually a game four blowout, right?
You can look
through history, and that's when they end it. And then game five becomes a formality because not a lot of teams want to paddle back from 3-1. But when that wasn't happening in the second quarter, I was like, you guys are in trouble. Like, talking about the Lakers, I was like, you're in trouble. You can't put them away. This is tough for you. I see. And then Anthony Davis went down. And right. anytime Anthony Davis goes down, I'm shocked when he plays through it, just because of, I'm not calling him soft or anything, but just because of the way that he falls sometimes in such a violent manner. It's because because of his height, his size, and the way, you know, he gets manhandled down there. That's the reason why he doesn't like playing center. It's because of those things, right? So when he went down, I was like, oh, that's trouble. That's trouble. And then when Chris Paul kept playing, I was like, parang okay na siya. He seems fine. Oh, this isn't good. Oh, this isn't good. So, I mean, for fear of stating the absolutely terribly obvious, if Anthony Davis isn't back to even 100%, even if he plays again but isn't 100%, then the Lakers are done. Then the Suns win this in six games. I have a really bad, like, blowout juju for game five. I have a feeling game five. By the way, do you guys have your arena named after your team?
No, I think we're the Talking Stick Arena. Are we still the Talking Stick?
That's what I thought. I thought it was a Talking Stick Arena, and then I watched, and then I heard someone say during game two, I think, that welcome to Phoenix Suns Arena. And I don't know if he was just being clever with it or Talking Stick, like, lost the naming rights.
This is the new resort, the new stadium. Sorry,
so you moved stadiums?
Or renovated, I think. I don't know. I've never been to Talking Stick. I've never been to the U.S. Airways Center, so I wouldn't know.
All right. So, yeah. So I have a feeling Phoenix Suns Arena, Game 5, is going to be bonkers. And, hey, guess what? We haven't had a Devin Booker game yet this series. And that always scares me.
That's kind of unfair. I mean, game one, CP goes down. And, I mean, as we all knew, he would. Because he's Chris Paul. But then, I don't know, that should have destroyed them. That should have made it easy for LeBron and crew. But then Booker kept them alive. He scored, what, 32,
34? No. I think Devin Booker's been great. I think Devin Booker's been great all series long. As has DeAndre Ayton, who's the best player of this entire series. It seems
like
he just can't miss.
Which we all saw coming, of course. We passed on Luka. Yeah.
But what I guess where I'm coming from is my standard for D-Book is so high that He's got a 40-pointer in him. He's got a 45-point game in him this series. And that's what I mean with a Devin Booker game. And I have a feeling it's coming. And I have a feeling it's coming game five. I have a feeling he has like 18 in the first, and it's an 11-point game after the first quarter. Start of the second quarter comes. Monty keeps him inside because he's hot. And it's a 23-point game. The Lakers call a timeout. Someone gets a flagrant, and the game gets blown wide open right there. And the rest of the second half, we're talking about how the Lakers are going to rebuild for next season. And then game six, inconspicuously, everyone is hurt, and they just won't play. And then that's it for the series. I have very little Laker hope. This wasn't as much a test of our friendship as you might have initially feared or anticipated. I mean,
there's three games left. AD isn't at 100%, but neither is CP. So, I don't know. My butt is clenched until the series is over. I'm not unclenching.
Okay, here is an honest question. Honest question, right?
Sure.
Because as a Laker fan, even though the Lakers were the seventh seed, they're the defending champions, and they have...
Yeah. I mean, this is a dumb 2-7. This isn't a 2-7 seed, obviously.
Right, right. Yeah, this is one of those ones where you would have wanted to see it down the line. But the Lakers are the defending champions. They have, at times, on the best of times, two of the top five, six, seven players in the NBA.
Five.
Top five. Yeah. Did you come into this series expecting to win as a Suns fan?
No.
With all of your Suns history against the Lakers?
No. I mean, I'm never betting against LeBron again. I mean, I've done it too many times and lost too much money to do that again. But then, no, I didn't think we were going to win this series at all. But then, of course, when CP3 got injured, all bets are off. I really thought we were done. It's a testament to Monty. It's a testament to CP3 that were 2-2. Of course, Devin Armani, Booker, Aiden, they're all playing well. But then I never thought we'd get here, honestly.
Okay, so I asked that question because the flip side of this is, up until this point, the Lakers and the Suns have had one-day breaks in between games. Right. They get there, and every team has it. In the first round, they get their two-day break before game five, before a travel game. And that just might be enough time for Anthony Davis to get right, although groin injuries are never really that quick to get rid of. But you never know. You never know. They're not steroid testing at this point in the season. They'll shoot him up. He should be fine. They could do it. I'm kidding. NBA, I'm joking. So the flip side of this is Anthony Davis comes back, 2 days rest, just what the doctor ordered. Mm-hmm. And the Chris Paul game four, wherein he looked like vintage Chris Paul, could quite possibly be the last drops of an empty gas tank. And he pushed his shoulder way too much. And game five, he's just back to being hurt again. I'm not wishing that on Chris Paul. I've said this on this podcast multiple times already. I am now a massive Chris Paul fan, and even if the Suns go on to beat the Lakers, I will be happy for Chris Paul. But there's a chance that happens, or there's a chance that both of them are healthy and we have the incredible series that we've been wanting to have ever since. But if you had to, and I know that you don't place money on or against LeBron James anymore, but if you had to realistically shedding away all of your Phoenix Suns playoff trauma, shedding away your disdain for the Los Angeles Lakers, if you had to pick which is a more likely scenario between they both come back healthy and it's chalk and it's a best of three now, all guns blazing, may the best team win. That's option A. Option B is Chris Paul got his shoulder right. It was a little dinged up for games 2 and 3 and half of game one. And now after game four, he's okay. He's going to be fine the rest of this series. And Anthony Davis is hurt and he's not going to get right. That's option B. Mm-hmm. Or option C, Anthony Davis comes back. He puts up 30 plus again. He's fine. And Chris Paul used up all of the gas in game four. Or option D, they're both out.
Is the question which one do I think is going to happen, or which do I want to happen?
I know what you want to happen, but which one do you think is most likely going to happen?
I think D. I think none of these guys
are
going to be
playing. Out?
No, not out. But then none of these guys are going to be playing at 100%. Like you said, groin injuries in the playoffs, that's not something you come back from in 2 days. Unless it was a serious precaution just to not play a while ago. But then I think none of these guys come back. AD or CP play at 100% for the rest of the series.
Sure.
Yeah, I think. Oh, it's an even series.
So,
yeah.
So you think it's most likely neither CP nor AD, and their presence or absence is going to swing this series. That's going to cancel each other out, and it's now D-Book +++ and LeBron +++ shootout.
I think so. I hope so. I mean, the odds are better for us like that, I think.
I was just about to say, usually that doesn't spell well. That doesn't sound like it's a good plan for previous opponents of LeBron. but, I mean, that's going to be a lot of Marc Gasol. That's going to be a lot of Andre Drummond. If I have to see Andre Drummond play... If I have to see Andre Drummond lose DeAndre Ayton one more time on a pick and roll lob, I swear, I might just start rooting for the Pacers if I see Drummond lose Ayton one more time. And Ayton's been great. Ayton has been fantastic this season. Everything you could hope for from him. But also, Andre Drummond's been helping him out a lot.
Oh, my God. I mean, just thinking back at all the tweets of all the Laker fans who were so happy that they finally got Drummond after he was iced, right? He was iced for, what, a month, 2 months?
Mm-hmm.
And then finally, we got Drummond. We got our center.
Yeah.
AD doesn't have to play the center anymore.
Every time I see him just lumbering down the court, I know why Frank Vogel is doing it, right? I know why, because the purpose of Marc Gasol, of Andre Drummond, to some extent Montrezl Harrell, Dwight Howard last year, and JaVale McGee last year was just...
Right.
Look, everyone knows, and Frank Vogel knows the most, that AD at the five is the best lineup. That's the best lineup, right? AD at center. No one has a matchup for that. That's a matchup problem for anybody. But as we saw, you have to protect and insulate that asset as much as you can. So you try and get by as much as you can without playing him at the five. So that when you get to the finals, like they did last year, okay, it's against the Heat. All right, we're going to start AD at the five now, because guess what? We've protected him. Mm-hmm. All the way through all the rounds of the playoffs, we've protected him, we've insulated him, and now we have him healthy at the end of the run. So I know why he's doing it. I understand why he's doing it, and I get that Marc Gasol isn't necessarily the fastest guy either, and I get that Montrezl Harrell is really a small forward with just the motor skills of just a madman. It's the only reason why he can pass off as playing for center. But when I watch Andre Drummond, no disrespect to him, but I'm like, I'd be smiling too if I were DeAndre Ayton. I would be happy too. But then, game five's going to happen. Drummond's going to have like 20 and 50, and I'm going to have to eat my words. And I'll come back on the pod and I'll apologize to Mr. Drummond then. But yeah, right. So officially, my thing is, if I had to pick on between A, B, C, or D, I think CP comes back. I think CP is great. And I think Anthony Davis is 100%. And I think Phoenix wins in LA in six, and game five is a blowout.
Oh, you think everyone comes back healthy? You think
no,
CP's
I think
shoulder is okay?
I think CP is going to be great. I think Anthony Davis is going to be 70%. 60%,
right,
which is not good enough to beat this team. And that the Suns close it out in LA game six, and game five is a blowout the Suns way. That's what I think.
Reverse jinx. I really don't full effect. Appreciate the reverse jinx.
Reverse jinx in full effect.
That you're putting out. That you're putting out into the world. I don't want to publish this episode anymore.
No, I really honestly do have such a bad feeling about game 5. I have a feeling that the Suns are just going to blow the top off. Campaign.
We shall see.
Campaign.
Oh, campaign.
Right.
rising
very quickly in my fear index.
On campaign.
The black eye on campaign.
Right.
Made him 1,000 times cooler.
Right. I mean, we both know him from 2016. He used to be your favorite. He used to be Russell Westbrook's dance partner. That's all he was good for before. But now, I don't know. I'm so proud to see him here. He's great.
No, I'm proud. I feel like campaign is my little brother. Like, when he scores and he talks smack to LeBron, I'm like, you know what? Yeah. Talk your smack, campaign. Yeah, no, I'm proud of you. If you do lose the series, though, I will say this. If the Suns do lose this series, you do know who you have to blame. It's not Chris Paul's shoulder. It's not the Suns not trusting any of their other backup point guards. I don't know why they kept trying to throw out Chris Paul out there if he really is hurt. But if you guys do lose this series, you do know that the one and only person to blame is one Mr. Corey J. Crowder. You know that, right?
Are we talking about the flagrant? Are you talking about the non-flagrant?
I'm talking about the entire series that has so far peaked at the flagrant. Marcus, right? That's the Marcus Morris foul on LeBron, right? Which was a pretty similar foul that he pulled off in the Celtics Cavs series, if I'm not mistaken, a few years ago. And then Crowder did it again.
Draymond eye poke. Which pissed
LeBron off, right? But if the Suns do lose this series, and in all fairness to LeBron, we haven't had a LeBron James game yet either.
He's been
steady. He's been his usual great self, but that man wakes up and has 18-6-6. Like he steps onto the court, and the stat sheet already says 18-6-6. That's automatic for him. So for him to be finishing around 23-25, like that's par for the course. But there might be a 40-pointer there for LeBron in this series. Is that going to be enough to win if he doesn't have AD? I don't know. But if it is, it's Crowder's fault. It's Jay Crowder's fault.
Yeah.
Shouldn't have talked all that smack to LeBron, man. They talk like nonstop. Now LeBron shouldn't be laughing at another grown man while he's posting him up either at the end of a blowout, which is what he did to Crowder at the end of game 3. Like, that's disrespectful. But yeah, if the Lakers win this, I'll bet you the LeBron media machine, they're going to start churning out that don't poke the bear. Yeah, Jay Crowder shouldn't have been talking all that smack to Bron. That's why Bron woke up. That's why Bron refused to lose. It's because Jay Crowder wouldn't stop talking to him. So
yeah, we have 3 games not to piss off LeBron James.
Tell that to Jay Crowder, because everybody else is fine. Like, even campaign who, like, parang, even campaign who every time he makes a basket celebrates like he just hit a game winner, he says it to the crowd. And obviously, like, Chris Paul and LeBron, like, they're never gonna fight, even though, like, they're always chippy on the floor. Like, it's only Jay Crowder that's really trying to purposely like, DeAndre Ayton has a 2-hand slam and one. And they put the camera on his face, and he's looking down like he's shy about it. Like, he's not screaming. He's like, oh, man, sorry about that. Like, sorry. Sorry, Mr. Drummond. Didn't mean to dunk on you. Like, you know? And Book is the same way. They should go about their business. It's been a great series. But Jay Crowder, he's asking for it. And maybe he doesn't get it. Maybe he does. But if you do get it, it's because he asked for it.
Well, you're not wrong there. Yeah. I don't know.
But you guys are going to blow out the Lakers game 5.
Let's see. No, don't put that evil on us.
Okay. Can we agree? Whoever wins game five wins the series.
Yeah, I think that's an accurate assessment.
I don't think anyone loses. Yeah. I don't think whoever has a 3-2 lead here isn't going to drop two games in a row after that.
Yeah. You think in seven?
But again, I don't know. I don't know. If we're going to lose, I just want to lose right away. Don't get my hopes up. Just go rest, release your movie. Let's come back next year. It's okay. People ask me all the time, like, don't you get upset, like, if the Lakers, like, you know, don't win the championship? There's been almost 75 seasons of the NBA. The Lakers have won the championship 17 times. The most out of anyone else in the NBA, tied with the Celtics. And yet, still, that number in comparison to the total number of seasons, just doing pure basic math, you still lose more than you win. So, we won last year. Chances are we're going to lose before, you know, we're going to lose more than we do win. So once you kind of like think about it like that, it's okay to lose every now and then. It's fine. We've won championships. Give other guys a chance. Like, you know, the Phoenix Suns. I mean, you guys have cool jerseys. Maybe you guys deserve a trophy.
Well, thank you for the charity. Thank you for the charity.
I'm so scared.
Laker fans.
I'm so scared. I'm sorry. I'm acting out of fear. This isn't the real me. I don't mean to be this petty, but I'm so scared.
All right. Well, that was 11 things on Lakers Suns. So we just completely threw out the format for this one.
yeah. Sorry about that, folks. I will say, this is my one last thing about the entire NBA playoffs. With regards to fan behavior in the stands, it's been absolutely shameful. The guy who threw the bottle at Kyrie Irving's now facing charges. They've put a lifetime ban on him. The TD Garden has, I think, not just for NBA games, but just entering the TD Garden in general. I don't know how they implement that, because if the Araneta Coliseum put a lifetime ban on one Mr. Nico Ramos, guess what I'm doing? I'm asking the amigo to buy two tickets with his credit card, give it to me, and I'm walking in there with a wig and hat, and no one's going to know. So I don't know how they implement that, but it's still, like, obviously the right thing to do. He's facing criminal charges. Someone spit on Trae Young. Someone threw popcorn at Russell Westbrook. What else am I missing here? But it's been a terrible display by not all fans, obviously, but a select number of fans. I think a lot of it is big picture stuff. Obviously, it's a very trying, combative, divisive time in the United States right now. I think people feel a certain way towards athletes, and also, you know, people have been caged in for a long period of time, and this is their first games that they've attended. They get a little rowdy and they forget how to behave. Just to localize this, all I'm saying is this: If it's happening now in the NBA, we should be ready for when it's UAAP season.
Right.
Because if you think NBA fans are rude, unruly, and are borderline violent, you should sit where I sit and hear what I hear from the Patreon area during Ateneo LaSalle games. And you should see who I hear those things from.
Right.
And you should see the watches they wear and the cars that they drive and the respectable Polo Barongs that they wear. But I have heard the absolute worst things during UAAP games said to teenagers. So if and when we do get our live basketball and our live sports back, hopefully this doesn't happen to us, because if it did happen to us, the equivalent of that would be downright frightening.
Yeah, that first thing that was gonna pop the lid off, I mean, that is gonna be crazy.
Yeah, dude, I mean, the number of titos standing up and holding up their wallets in the air while their children sit next to them and cower in shame is going to be at an all-time high. Oh, wow. Yeah. The number of Konya boys in lower box bringing out their car keys and swinging it around and yelling to everyone that they drive their dad's BMW. Oh, going to be at an all-time high. Yeah. I can't wait. I can't wait for your AP season. That's all I'm saying. Fans, I mean, there's more good ones out there than bad, obviously. But to the bad ones, stay at home or continue to pretend to be good. That's all I ask. It's not much, but it's all I ask. Try to be decent. That's it. Did we meet our 20 to 30 minute target?
We're at an hour and 6 minutes.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, at the end of the podcast, as promised, please enjoy our short conversation with Gary Payton and Sean Kemp. This is an excerpt. The full episode is on the NBA YouTube channel. Just search for NBA on YouTube. It is part of the hashtag Republica Huddle series that I am on, together with our friends from the NBA and all of our great friends from NBA Philippines. So here's GP and Sean Kemp. Sean, no one ever does this interview with you without talking about a specific moment. And I'm sorry, but I'm going to have to go there as well. Talking about the dunk on Alton Lister. And I say that because Coach Lister is my guy. He's been here in the Philippines. He's practically Filipino now. One of the nicest, most professional, best big man coaches, best coaches, period, we've seen here in the Philippines.
We're talking about my man, Alton Lister. First of all, let me explain this to you. But Alton Lister was on the Seattle Supersonics the year before I got there.
That's what he always says.
Yeah, so I got a lot of respect for him. He just went with the wrong team, that's all.
and the thing is, if people ask you about it, imagine him, right? People come up to him here. He's this big guy. People see him a lot. Yeah. They recognize him, and they ask about it all the time. And he's never, not once, dodged that conversation with anybody. He, when he talks about it, like he's proud of you. He's like, no, you know.
You tell Alton Lister, Sean Kemp said, man, I love him, man. Take care of himself. Stay healthy.
That's what he always says too. He says, you know what? I'm proud because I went up for it. He's like, most guys would have gotten out of the way, made a business decision. He's like, you don't get dunked on unless you try to go for a block. He's like, my job was to rim protect. And even if it's Rain Man, he's like, sometimes you're gonna get him, most times he's gonna get you. And that's how I got. And he's fine with it. And he lives with it.
Hey, when you go back and watch that clip, watch Gary on that clip.
That was my next point.
No celebration was. Everybody always talking about me, but watch Glove on that clip. Watch him over there celebrating on that clip.
That was going to be my next point because I was like, Gary, you know what? Don't play innocent here because you were instigating that the entire time.
No doubt about it.
I don't think Sean does the point if you weren't in his ear like you always are.
I hadn't even landed in the air. He had already ran over to me. It was like, yeah. So Tesla, it was a hype moment going on at that time.
Well, Golden State was talking big trash. They was seated over us too, and it was still run TMC at the time, I think. So they were talking a big lot of trash, man. So you know, I was juiced. So and we was getting in the rhythm and we was doing it back. And you know, I just had to let Sean know. Got him. Hey, you know what I'm saying? It is what it is.
When are you not juiced? When are you not juiced? That's Sean Kemp and Gary Payton. Again, if you guys want to get the rest of the conversation, it's on the NBA YouTube channel, hashtag Republica Huddle. We're back again later this week. Yabang. Oh, we take off for so long without announcement or anything and say we're back again with another episode. I hate us. But we're back again later this week. I'm confident in saying that because I already told my wife that we were doing it. So my wife's going to jump on the pod. If you guys have any questions for her or myself or our upcoming baby, whose name we've yet to decide. I tried to see if Toby was anywhere near the top 50 choices.
Oh no! Don't do that to your kid. Don't do that to your kid. Don't name him after a dog.
So yeah, no. Well, new episode later on this week with the wife. She's gonna come and help take over the podcast. If you guys have any questions, just let us know on social. And as a last bit, thanks to everyone who rocked the merch and bought t-shirts from us. Our friend Paulo Bustamante saw someone in Green Hills randomly walking with one of our t-shirts. And
oh wow. Nice.
Yeah, it's crazy. It's crazy. We appreciate all the support. Alan Martin is working on the next batch of merch that we have, so watch out for that. That's the episode. Thanks a lot for listening, and catch you guys again later this week. And good luck, Suns.
Good luck, Lakers. Lakers and seven.
We're out of here. We're out of here. Thanks, guys. Bye.
I want a million lives. I want a billion profits when all that I got is a villainous mind. I keep a reel in the pocket while you hear the venomous lies. I do not speak like a prophet, cause I got a million styles. Let's see what's really inside. Pulling over in the whip, flying out another trip.